You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
All right, so early voting for the by-election of the North Coat Electorate MP has opened, and I decided to have a quick chat with Associate Professor for Massey University and political commentator Grant Duncan. I asked what his thoughts were on the by-election so far.
Well, it hasn't really been taking off in the news a great deal outside of North Coat, I think, but that might change in the next week or so. I guess it looks like it ought to be a safe bet for National, because they had a 6,200 majority for the former National Party MP there, Jonathan Coleman, at the last election. And generally, by-elections don't go the way of the sitting government. But a lot will depend really on turnout on the day, and turnouts tend to be a little bit low for by-elections. And certainly the last time we had a by-election, just straight after an election last time round up in Northland, that obviously was an upset with Winston Peters winning that. But of course, you know, Winston Peters is a rather seasoned and popular campaigner, so that was a surprise result. I wouldn't expect a big upset like that this time round.
You said voter turnout tends to be lower. Are there any other noticeable differences between by-elections and primary elections?
Yeah, I think by-elections tend to bring out a different set of motives and interests in the voters. And one thing I've noticed about the Northland campaign is that, the North Coat campaign is that, you know, people are focusing very much on local issues, particularly roads and transport and things like that. The other thing is, of course, that sometimes voters see it as an opportunity to be a little bit daring or do something different or produce a little bit of an upset, and certainly that was the case in Northland 3 years ago. So, you know, there is always the possibility that North Coast voters may produce a disruptive and unexpected result, but it's not looking like that's the way it will go. But yeah, you know, you never know. If the turnout is relatively low, and National supporters tend to be a bit complacent, perhaps thinking it's a foregone conclusion or it doesn't really matter very much, and Labour supporters get a bit more motivated on the ground, as it were, then, you know, a low turnout could be good for Labour and not so good for National, and it could turn out to be a closer race than we expect.
So the North Coat electorate has been voted National the last five elections, as I'm sure you know. The last election where we saw Labour was voted for a North Coat electorate MP was during a time in which Labour was the governing party. With Labour coming into leadership, do you believe it is potential for a swing vote?
Well, yeah, the potential is there. And I mean, I don't really buy the story about North Coat being a kind of bellwether electorate, you know, that it goes where the government goes, because that's not entirely accurate. And the idea of bellwether electorates is a little less convincing with MMP generally. I don't see any reason why the fact that Labour is in government should in itself have a great impact, because, you know, it can work that can work in two different ways. You know, it can make opponents of the government all the more determined to get out and vote for the National candidate, or the opposite way, or a bit of both. But a lot, as I say, on it for a by-election, because, you know, it has less prominence in the media, and local voters may be not so motivated to actually go down to the polling booths. A lot does depend on the ability of the teams, you know, the party campaign teams on the ground, to actually motivate their supporters to get down and cast their vote. As I understand it, you know, both National and Labour are putting a lot of effort into this, because they don't want to be caught napping, so to speak. So, you know, it will be an interesting race. But, turnout will be significant for both of the two leading parties.
The latest news this morning is that Shannon Halbert was not permitted to campaign in a Glenfield shopping center while Dan Bidois was. What do you think this reflects about the area, and do you think businesses kind of have a political duty to be unbiased?
Look, I have heard that story, and honestly, I'm not fully au fait with what happened, you know, what actually happened in that series of events. And so I'm a little bit reluctant to comment because it was in relation to a shopping mall, as I understand it. Mm. And shopping malls, after all, are privately owned, and I'm not quite sure about the exact events and when and where each of them happened. So it's hard to comment on the rights and wrongs of what happened until we have a bit more information about it. But certainly, of course, on the surface, it seems to, you know, many people will interpret that event as somehow reflecting some kind of bias, perhaps. I don't know. Possibly. I mean, as I say, it's very hard to comment from the outside, having not been there and witnessed what happened.
Mm. The Green Party, they entered a candidate quite late into the race, and I believe with very little warning to Labour government. Mm. How do you think that's reflecting the Green Party's politics at the moment?
Well, I guess, as I understand it anyway, the motive for that decision was very much locally determined. So it was, as I understand it, it was the local Green Party members who insisted on running a candidate, whereas the at the national level, people, I think, were possibly a little bit more concerned about how they were getting on with their Labour Party colleagues, and so forth. But yeah, I mean, one point of view was that if the Greens had stayed out, of course, it would help boost Labour support probably and reduce National's majority. So to some extent you would say that the Green Party, by running a candidate, had just done National a bit of a favour by making it easier for National to win or increasing National's majority on the day. On the other hand, from the Green Party's point of view, you know, why lose an opportunity to strut your stuff and to get your, you know, messages out there? So there's two ways of looking at it, but yeah, I think it's probably very much determined, as I understand, by the local support base wanting to run a campaign and get their message out there.
Hmm. Do you think this by-election could reflect how the general public is feeling about coalition, how coalition government is doing at the moment?
Well, it could. If it's a strikingly unpredictable result, either way, you know, either National gets a whopping majority and, you know, really embarrasses Labour, then that's going to be used as a signal about maybe Labour isn't as popular on the ground as people thought they were, or something like that. If it works out in the other direction, and I mean, you know, if National only squeaks in with a small majority, or even if National were to lose, if Labour were to win, then that would obviously work the other way and, suggest the opposite. Now, the other thing is, I think that particularly this early in the election cycle, and given the tendency of by-election results sometimes to be a little bit out of line, so to speak, or sometimes a little bit disruptive, it's hard to read too much into whatever the result turns out to be, you know. And obviously there'll be all sorts of pundits after the result comes out interpreting it this way, that way and the other, and making all sorts of optimistic or dire predictions about what it means for the next election. But we're so early on in the election cycle, and as I say, by-elections are sometimes a little bit anomalous in relation to where things are heading generally, that I wouldn't pay too much attention to all those sorts of prognostications.
I then had a quick chat with the National Party candidate for the North Coast electorate, Dan Bidois, asking about his campaign promises.
Well, I've been fighting for the big issues which are in my campaign, which is tackling congestion, getting a comprehensive transport plan for Northcote, because Labor and Council pretty much leaves us off the map. and this has got to include certainly better public transport solutions. But second to that, I'm also vocal against any extra fuel taxes, which are going to hurt to the people in Northcote and raise the cost of living for people on fixed incomes like students. It's simply not fair. And finally is to fight for more services, from building more affordable houses, but also the surrounding services, including car parks, better healthcare and educational services as well.
So the last time Labour was in government, the Northcote electorate MP was also voted as Labour. With Labour recently coming into leadership, are there concerns of a potential swing vote?
Not really, we're not taking anything for granted. I feel very positive and energised by the response that I've had out in the campaign trail. But my message to every national voter and supporter out there is simple, which is make sure you get out there and vote. Because by-elections, they're funny creatures, and it's all about voter turnout. So if you support me, if you support the National Party, ensure that you vote for an ambitious MP. Vote Dan Bidwell for Northcote.
And what about the message to people who are undecided yet?
My message to those that are undecided is certainly vote for an aspirational MP, someone that wants to be a fighter for you on the issues that matter to you, issues like congestion, public transport, making sure that you've got more money in your back pocket and not in the hands of bureaucrats in Wellington. And finally, to get more investment into this great area that I call home, that's Northcote.
I then got a bit of audio from the Labour Party's campaign page, where Labour candidate Shannon Halbert was talking about some of his campaign promises.
As someone who has commuted from Birkenhead to South Auckland for work each day, I know the importance of reducing congestion on Orewa Road, the motorway, and across the Harbour Bridge. I am one of those commuters who, at this time, has to use my car. But the transport announcement released last week invests the largest amount of funding ever seen in Auckland to provide me and others like me with options. This is the only transport investment on the North Shore since the last Labor government's Northern Expressway. I will be advocating for bringing light rail to the shore and supporting our local ferries to be cheaper for our communities. And home ownership has become a distant and unaffordable dream. The housing crisis has touched everyone in our community, from our parents who dream of their grandkids growing up locally, to those who are now in emergency housing as we approach winter days. As your local MP, I promise I will strongly advocate for the right mix of affordable housing, whether you're renting or buying your first home. Health is, of course, the ghost that haunts our opposition, and although they don't want to talk about it, we do. The well-being of our community begins with the prevention of illness. The mental health care in our community and for our young people is an absolute priority of mine.
Why should New Zealanders care so much about this?
Because your children will curse you if you don't.
The Wire.
That was just a quick summary from the Labour and National candidates, but I encourage everyone to go out, research the different candidates, and most importantly, vote. Like Grant Duncan said, voting is low in by-elections, so just go and vote, please.
You heard the woman. Go and vote.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.